1939, the Spanish Civil War was officially over. Small pockets of partisans still fought on in the mountains, but the great social experiment of the Popular Front had failed. With armed resistance to the fascist uprising and were volunteers in the international brigades, the most militant example of direct action in modern history failed. But what is direct action? Benjamin Franks, lecturer in social and political philosophy at University of Glasgow and author of a book Rebel Alliances, The Means and Ends of Contemporary British Anarchisms.
In my account, direct action is prefigurative, that the activity embodies the end. What you want to achieve is consistent with the action that is carried out. So if you want to see the end of homelessness, then direct action would be to squat an empty building. The homeless do squat empty buildings and turn them into homes. That distinguishes it from sort of constitutional action, which is where you, you know, lobby the state to provide homes or to work constitutionally to try and change housing policies for the long term.
Anne Hansen, member of the 70s Canadian urban guerrilla group Direct Action.
Direct action as a tactic can be many different things. It can be anything from community organizing, you know, musician, art, workers' co-ops like the Mondragon, all the way up to the more militant forms of either militant illegal direct action all the way up to urban guerrilla type of tactics. Like, it's the principles that define direct action, not so much the act itself.
The English term was first defined by William Meller in his 1920 book Direct Action. He then focused primarily on the context of the labour struggles.
I'm not certain where the original origins of the term direct action come from. I believe that sort of French syndicalists were using something similar to that in the sort of turn of the last century.
Today, direct action refers to many protests. In Scotland, direct action is mostly associated with the anti-nuclear movement resisting Trident. The tactic was first made popular by April Carter of CND, the Campaign of Nuclear Disarmament. She introduced the tactic with a propagandist piece, Direct Action, in 1962. CND continues to use lobbyist tactics as well. So how would you distinguish between direct action and indirect action? Benjamin Franks.
Direct action is one which is carried out by the people affected to resolve a situation in keeping with their values. So direct action is where the action itself embodies your ends, and indirect action can be either when the values which embody your behaviour are different to the ends you want to achieve, or when it can be the people involved are distinct, where you're trying to be paternalistic, perhaps.
During the G8 summit in Glen Eagles, Perthshire, in 2005, a multitude of groups carried out many different forms of protest. Here is Robert, a protester aligned to the Dissent Network.
What are Dissent doing? Right, what are Dissent doing? In Violence of G8, there's posters outside there with a number of actions that have been called by the Dissent Network. Obviously, Dissent has taken a position of a rejection of lobbying per se, understanding that direct action, which is part of this empowerment process I was talking about, is direct action gets the goods, as it were. Dissent, one of its the main focuses that's going to happen is going to strategies for resisting the G8 and resisting the power structures embodied within the G8, and but doing that in a method that clearly rejects all of those power structures and is about self-organisation and what's often termed horizontal decision making.
Strikes, squatting, workplace occupations, sabotage, sit-ins, demonstrations, graffiti and even warfare, such as in the Spanish Civil War, can all be described as direct action. Since 1963, the term nonviolent direct action has been used to describe activities by the civil rights movement around Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi.
And that distinguishes it, of course, from civil disobedience. I mean, direct action, of course, can be legal. There could be legal forms of direct action. Now, civil disobedience, by definition, has to break the law. It has to be civilly disobedient. And civil disobedience makes claims to be non-violent, whatever that problematic phrase can be, while direct action on its own makes no claims to be non-violent. But what the other sort of significant feature, obviously, of direct action is the idea that it is direct, that you're trying to embody in your action a part of the solutions.
Many pressure groups use direct action, but insist to keep their tactics non-violent. Duncan McLaren from Friends of the Earth Scotland.
It's always appropriate to defend threatened environments by direct action as long as that direct action is peaceful. So that's why Friends of the Earth Scotland has been giving support to the protesters at Dalgate Park.
So what is actually meant by violence in regards to direct action?
What normally seems to be the case is, you know, but when you question people by what they mean by violence, the whole definition just sort of collapses, because it really what the matter is about hierarchical power and anti-hierarchical social relations. The types of tactics that people claim to be non-violent, you know, often use quite powerful coercive threats.